Now, Councillor Mason, 8.3. Jump the gun, you're too fast. 8.3. This is local government regulations and local government meeting procedures. This is a remake of the regulations. So basically, every 10 years, all of the government regulations are forced to go back to be revised through the Legislative Council, etc., etc. And so this year, the state government has left it literally to the very last minute. I think I would be fair in saying the consultation has been brief, from the 25th of February to the 1st of April, I would think, on something as relatively important as this. But I will, for the benefit of the public gallery, try to simplify the meeting procedures into a few key themes. So during COVID, we started the journey of doing online as well as physical presence meetings. Obviously, because of social distancing, it was impossible. So now they're trying to bring back some of the best elements of online attendance. So they will allow that under very specific conditions, if there's illness, you know, a family death, bereavement, all the rest. So with the mayor's permission, we will entertain that. There's specific provisions in how you would do that regarding to confidentiality and attention.
Point of order, Mayor?
Yes.
Has the election been called?
No, not specifically.
What are you worried about then?
That's interesting. Thank you, Councillor Harris. Parental leave is also covered to a notional extent. Again, the report is pretty straightforward reading, but I would say this probably is the minimum bar for qualifying for reviewing the legislation, I think, at best. Nonetheless, I'll call for a mover and a seconder to pass the remake of the local government meeting regulations for 2025. Can I call for a mover and a seconder, please? The enthusiasm. Councillor Dawson, thank you very much, as our mover. And it is seconded by Councillor Harris. Councillor Dawson, take it away.
This is pretty much conversation that's been going on with local government and government around the meetings, procedures, regulations for quite some time. Probably well overdue. The General Manager put in some comments there of what he feels are important and has discussed this at length with council laws during workshops. I'm supportive of the opportunity to feed some information back into government, and let's hope we get some positive outcomes.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Councillor Harris is seconder. Thank you, Winston.
Thank you, Mayor. Full agreement with Councillor Dawson on this. It has been on the go for quite a few years now, not just quite a few months, but quite a few years, when we are supposed to reach parity with the federal tax bill, and that way we can get a few more dollars in the bank.
Thank you very much. All right, I'll open that to questions. Speakers for or against, Councillor Barwick.
Mr. Chairman, I'll ask again, can the gallery hear me? Thank you. I have a problem with some of these comments in here. If you look at page 72, improve public access to council meetings. The general manager's comment, it says, how can any possible operational or logistical matters be managed in relation to the recording of council minutes? The general manager's comment here is, it provides the general manager with the power to edit a recording in prescribed circumstances. This does not place a requirement on the general manager to review each recording to assess whether any of the prescribed circumstances exist. And then it says, clarity is sought on whether the regulation imposes on the general manager an obligation to assess every recording, and if so, what is the impact if something is missed? Now, I don't even believe that there should be any changes made to a recording that is taped around this table, and that's how I don't agree with that.
Would you like me to just comment for the benefit of the attendees?
Sorry?
Would you like me to comment for the benefit of our gallery?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't believe that...
But I'll comment. So again, so as you may be aware, in social media, there is a recent case history where if they publish a defamatory statement, the publisher is effectively held as the person who is liable for the publishing of something that is defamatory in nature. The specific circumstances that the Act alludes to is where in a council meeting, in the event that something is libelous or defamatory in nature, whether or not we should distribute a recording to the public that contains that defamatory or libelous inclusion. This is unresolved, as the General Manager rightly says. He would like to have some clarity on whether or not he would have to do that or not, and whether he specifically must review every recording. I think it's a reasonable thing to seek clarity on.
My next one is on page 75, Mr. Chairman. It's to do with the head under the heading Consistent Rules and Procedures for Questions, Motions and Minutes. The comment...
So at the bottom of page 74 and then to the top of page 75, that dialogue box.
Now, it says, when and why questions and motions can be refused. For example, they should not be defamatory. I agree with that. Who makes the decision to refuse a question or motion when... For example, the General Manager, in consultation with the Mayor, can decide if a question on notice is to be refused before a meeting. I don't agree with that, myself, personally. We are supposed to be... people have democratic rights, as far as I'm concerned, to come in, address this Council and ask questions. I may be reading it wrong. The comment says here, do you think the suggested changes will provide clarity for people attending council meetings? I don't know that it will provide clarity for people that come here thinking and knowing that we represent the council. I don't represent the management of this council. I represent the community that I work for. And I just feel that the community, have as much right to come at the AGM or at a council meeting to ask questions of us. That's how I see that question.
Thank you. I'll just provide brief commentary again for the benefit of the audience. I think the most important thing here, the crux, is the circumstances when a question is refused or when a question on notice is excluded. So we know that in the Act, if something is defamatory, abusive, disrespectful, or contains proprietary information, personal information, etc., etc., basically those are the no-go zones. That's what's stipulated. So if a question on notice is submitted and clearly in the question it meets that threshold in those categories, well, then that's something to consider. If you allow it, you then are in clear conflict with the law. Councillor Dawson also has a question, but should I let you conclude?
I might as well keep going.
Let's conclude with, and then I'll come to you, Councillor Dawson. And then we've got Councillor Mason. Carry on. You carry on. Keep going.
On page... Now, I did agree with the comment that about defamatory and that, but I have a problem that just say someone that you don't like, which is we can pick out people that are not popular with what goes on in this council chambers, that you'd get a question could come through, and I have concerns that there's an issue there.
Duly noted.
Page 77. Which I noticed that there's going to be a pay increase to council lawyers on the... Is it correct that it's to happen on the 25th of June?
Yes.
This document, and the council lawyers will now get just over $15,000 for 12 months to sit on the council as their allowance. Is that correct?
I don't know the actual numbers, but up until now, all councillors are effectively viewed as almost as volunteers. We're almost on a per diem. So this is the first time that councillors are treated almost as employees, in the fact that there is a superannuation provision. I think that's the core change. There's the legislated superannuation provision, and then there's the normal CPI adjustment.
20-something of June. It commences at the 27th of June in the attachments.
I think it's the 12th of July. Maybe in June. I'm seeing here. I can't see it stipulated.
Yeah, and the figures are over the back on the...
But basically, it's superannuation. That's the change.
I'm not going to read those out, but I was just questioning, because it normally happens in the November of every year, but this looks like it's coming in the...
Yes, superannuation, correct.
Anyway, they're the things that I picked out of this, only the regulations there on this.
Thank you, Councillor Bowick.
Concern with.
And we had Councillor Dawson then. Okay. And then we have Councillor Ashley, I think. That was a Councillor Mason. Councillor Mason had a question.
My turn.
Yes, your turn.
Lots of this motion is good. But the one area I've got a problem with is Reform 5.
Page.
It's the attachments of 427 to the documentation. And it reads...
427.
Hang on a minute. Let's make sure we are on the same page.
Have I got the right one this time?
No, you're still one early. You're still one early.
Yes.
That's the electoral bill. That's the electoral bill discussion. Scratch. Thank you for attending. All right. Anybody else? Councillor Orr.
Yes, I'll probably refer to page 219 of the attachment.
Yep.
So, regarding the discussion paper.
Yep.
And what my read on this is that individual councillors can make their own submissions.
Yes.
And I understand that would be the same with the public.
That is correct.
Yeah. So the other one they did have mentioned here, they are reviewing council's allowances as part of the overall government review anyway.
Correct.
So that's with superannuation, that's an interesting one. So I'd probably like more clarity on that, because they're not don't you pay super, but they're allowing for super. So it's very I do note that I think it's...
To be candid, I don't think it's going to make a big difference for the volunteers.
No, I'm not saying that.
But anyway,
yes.
It's a nice notion.
Regulation 20 is a new one, which is an entirely new provision that enables motions without notice to be given as long as it relates to a matter listed on the agenda of the meeting, where at the moment we can put a motion up without notice that's not related to the agenda.
Yep.
So that's an interesting one. So I just thought I'd bring that one to people's attention. Overall, I think...
So basically all that it's saying is that, yes, you can have a motion without notice, but it has to be specifically in relation to the agenda before you...
Yeah. Correct. So there is a lot more details regarding how motions are to be done, so I think that's probably a good thing. So overall balance, even though I don't support everyone, overall balance I think would be a good thing. So I'll support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. Anybody else? Councillor Archer?
Thank you, Mayor. I hope nobody takes offence to this, but I sort of get the feeling that you know, there's all the mayors get together in the state and have a meeting, and all the general managers get together in the state and have a meeting, but there's nothing for the councillors. And I think, you know, these, you know, changes probably represent what mayors and general managers sort of want to make maybe their life easier or something like that, to want of a better way to put it. you know, I've seen over the years some good democratic things in the meeting procedures whittled away. You know, one being, you know, if a question's asked, and it's from the member of the public and the chair refuses to answer the question, that a reason must be given, and that was removed some years ago. But and I suspect I may have been somewhat to blame for that, for standing my ground, which some people might remember. But I have some issues with the recording of the minutes, and any redactions from audio recordings, and as to whether it's appropriate for them or it should be prescribed, whether they can be reused in any proceeding, you know, any sort of legal proceedings in future, and the appropriateness of that if they've been redacted in some form. You know, we've got on page 75 where it talks about questions from councillors and the public should be straightforward, concise and directly relevant to council activities. However, it doesn't say that for the answers. It doesn't say that we should give concise, clear answers, you know. To me, it's sort of common sense and good governance. I'm not particularly in favour of some of the comments around the section 337 certificates. And
it's page 77 for everybody who's following.
Page 77, yeah, I'm sorry. But look, it's very hard when this stuff isn't to have any influence when it's not actually created in conjunction with the grassroots councillors, you know. I'll just leave my comments at that. Thank you.
And just for your benefit, at no stage was there a preamble, the discussion, engagement. Basically, this was presented. I don't know, this is some sort of magical homologation of the various different, you know, ALGET meetings we've had during the years. You know, I'm literally as surprised at the content as you are. So maybe ALGET had a direct hand in it, but yeah. I'm somewhat baffled, to be honest. Yes, Councillor Ash.
I'm just surprised at some of the comment in it. Yep. Some of the comment in it I'm not really, you know, happy with, and the fact that...
Thank you.
The words mandatory and lots of other things are in this, and saying that, you know, we should be able to use some governance around how we handle and what we do with our meetings.
Yeah. Again, that's a very valid point of view. Again, you know, much to the gallery's today, much to the gallery's frustration, a lot of the time we are prescribed all these things, how to behave, how to respond, how to handle questions, how to handle objections, how to handle appeals. Yeah, I share your frustration. All right, anybody else? Otherwise, I'll move it to close. Mr. Nielsen, again, please just keep it down from the back if you don't mind. Councillor Dawson, to close.
Now, I think most of the comments around the table are all pretty well relevant. There was just probably one clarification that I'd like to make around the rationale around the increase for council allowances, and it's written in the report here. It's on page 77. It says, further to this, the matter of superannuation has been reviewed. In 2004, a 9% increase in allowances was provided to compensate for the lack of council superannuation. Australia's superannuation guarantee is currently sitting at 11.5% and will increase to 12% in July 2025. Therefore, council allowances, is as proposed in the draft general regulations, have been adjusted to incorporate the equivalent of a 12% superannuation compensation component. So we don't get paid compensation, but that is a percentage, if you like, of what we do get remunerated for. But you know, I think the only thing that brings lots of councillors together is how it hits their pocket. And I know me for one, I've done over 40 days in this last calendar year away from my workplace to be in this role, and that is all on leave. I don't know that we're appropriately compensated, but
far from it.
I don't want any more either. So I just put the motion.
And your contribution is duly noted. And with that, I will put the motion. So all those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, we have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Ashley, we have Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson against Councillor Archer. Against, and Councillor Barwick. So the motion is carried 7-2, noting Councillor Archer and Barwick. Which leads us, finally, Councillor Mason, to the 1 year after. Third time lucky. 8.4. This is the Local Government Electoral Bill discussion paper. So very, very important. This is purely the basis of what the government would like feedback on and how they would like to modify the election process for local governments. There are a number of questions, particularly in defence of our general manager. I just want to talk a little bit about the time frames. So we are presented this in basically the beginning of March. We have to have a response to ALGAT by the 13th of March, and all composite responses are due by the 4th of April. So the general manager has had to make responses missing the ALGAT submission so we can review them in our meeting. Again, I think it's a well-intentioned best effort. Anyway, there's a lot there. I think the one that will draw a lot of ire is the minimum nominations required for somebody to stand at an elector, which is you need to have 30 people nominate you, or the lesser of 1% of your electors. So if we have 4,205 electors, 1% would be 42.5. So the lesser being 30 in this case. 30 people need to nominate you so you can validate that you are a fair community representative in order to stand. These are the proposals. That's the most contentious one by my read. There are others though. Councillors, I'll call for a mover and I'm sure a hearty debate. Mover and a seconder, please. Not all at once.
I'll speak. I'm not sure that I want to support. I think Councillor Law should give this motion the respect it deserves.
Yep.
And not even put it up. And I say that the state government has not given councils or council laws or officers an appropriate amount of time to be able to consider and action these items in a timely manner, so I don't think we should support it at all.
Can I propose an alternative, just being devil's advocate here? How about we do our part, but in our response note the wholly inadequate amount of time provided for us as a body to give this due consideration? And then at least we can say we're part of the circumstance or part of the answer. I highly respect if you don't agree, but...
So, Mayor, do you propose a new motion and would you like to swap seats?
No, I certainly am not. I'm prompting for somebody else to move that if they're so concerned. Otherwise, I'll call one more time for a mover and a seconder. And on the third time, if I do not get a mover or a seconder, the motion will lapse. One more time, I'm calling for a mover and a seconder.
I'll move.
Councillor Orr will move
just for the debate.
Councillor Orr will move it for debate, and
I'll second that for the debate.
Councillor Mason is our seconder.
Right.
Thank you very much. Okay, so Councillor Orr, did I get it right? Councillor Mason? Councillor Archer, thank you very much. Sorry, Councillor Archer. I was looking down trying to write and I clearly misidentified your voice. Councillor Orr, you are our mover. Take it away.
Thank you. So, Sam, this is another discussion paper. I believe that we can put individual responses in as well. I don't agree with some of the officers' responses. One, the we didn't support the one regarding deputy mayors, and I thought that was probably what we're looking at. We're the only.
Can you point us to an item number, please?
So, we're at page 8, bottom page 1.
Okay.
So, the office does not support this reform, which is remove the direct election of deputy mayor.
Yep.
There's a bit of discussion later on in the document about that. I don't sort of agree with his responses there. We are the only state who elect a deputy mayor through a ballot.
So just noting that the general manager has agreed with you in his response. He said the council do not support this reform consideration.
Yeah, which I do.
You do support.
Yep.
You do support the removal.
Yep.
Okay.
So currently. Part of the Glogum review, you know, we do have between 9 councillors, between 7 and 9 and 12 councillors. We have a lot of councillors, and this comes back to review that we do have a lot of councillors in for our small state. Mm-hmm. And then go through and then have 29 mayors and 29 deputy mayors. It's a big cost to the whole election process.
Indeed.
So, I think if we do want a deputy mayor, it should be up to individual councillors, and that should be done through the table aspect of what the report says here. I don't agree with what was put there. Moving on, what else have we got here? The number of... provide candidates who nominate form is not lodged by registered pay to request to be identified with a group name. Not supported, I agree with that one. Trying to find the one with the number of 30. What was that one again?
That's Reform 5.
Reform 5.
Yep.
I've seen where at a by-election that people were running a by-election and not get many votes at all. And then you've got a situation where Dorset, where you've got people becoming councillors with a handful of votes, and maybe they wouldn't have even got in on the roll in the first place.
I think the record is 4.
4. So they wouldn't have even got 30. So I could see where they bring that in. The idea with this one was that they were looking at making nominees pay a fee, and instead, which I didn't agree with, so instead you got to get 30 people to sign. So I actually agree with that one.
Thank you.
Nothing further than that. That's it.
Okay. Any other speakers? Councillor Archer, I think, was next. Thank you.
I have some issues. The provision over needing 30 signatures of people on the electoral roll to nominate in Reform 4, that's... Reform 4, is it? No, sorry, that's Reform 5. I find it, you know, I've told others this story from when I was decided to nominate for my current sitting, and, woke up on Sunday morning and just said to the Scornburner while I was sitting in bed there, I said, what do you think about running for council? The nomination's closed, 3 o'clock or whatever the next day. Doesn't leave you much time to go around and gather up 30 signatures. So it sort of, and everybody had their signs up by then, everybody else. For me it was just last minute, spur of the moment thing, but, I appreciate the people gave me the opportunity to sit here and have this privilege. I think it makes it harder for probably some introverted sort of people to, and there's some good people with good, clear, level thoughts, and that can have good influence over a council, over a future council that could be ruled out under this reform. I cannot see the point of it. I can't see it adds doesn't have any burden. I can't see any significant burden to anybody from somebody being able to nominate with only, you know, let's say 3 or 4 people nominating them. You know, maybe another name on a ballot paper is the amount, you know, doesn't sound like a whole tree to me, as in most of the paper or whatever. So, that, and, yeah, it's another one of these things, I think, where it's aimed at, let's say, some of these other responses about party affiliations and that sort of thing, as, you know, some southern councils where, for years, you know, there's councillors that openly claim to be Greens members and Labor members and so on, and even Liberal Party members, I suppose. It doesn't sort of affect us, I don't believe, so much, but, yeah, I don't, certainly don't support Reform 5. I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Anybody else? Councillor, we've got a few queued there. We'll do Councillor Dawson, then I'll do Councillor Lowe. And turn Councillor Orphan Killios, thank you. Councillor Dawson, then Councillor Lowe.
Probably just...
And you also as well? Sorry, we've got 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And then you as well? 4. Blimey. Okay. Councillor Dawson.
Thank you.
Sorry.
In relation to the removal of the direct election of the Deputy Mayor, and I suppose I come from a point of transparency and openness for people that run for council, I think it's probably an expectation of our community that they would know who they're going to get as a Mayor and a Deputy Mayor, because if the Mayor is to move on, like we had recently at the start of our current mayor's previous term, he put his hand up. The sitting mayor moved into federal politics, and then at least we had an understanding of who was going to take the seat next. And as a deputy mayor, I know that, and everybody around this table in the community knows that if the current mayor is to move on for a period on leave or whatever, they know what they get with the person that put the hand up for. You could have a situation where popularly elected person may not be the most appropriate person. We've seen in the past people with almost zero local government meetings procedures experience that don't understand how to run a meeting actually get that seat, and it's to the detriment of the community. So I'm supportive of the officer's response in that regard. The rest of them, you know, they're quickly responded to. I don't think we've had well enough time to make very well-informed decisions, but that's what the government expects us to do, and that's pretty much the same as the previous motion. They rush everything through at the last moment, and then we've got to make a decision on it. So here we are today, make a decision either way.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. Then we had Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. Though just echoing basically the comments of Councillor Dawson, I was disappointed to have such a short turnaround to read, reread, comprehend, add, ask questions and add any value when 33 reforms, it was a short amount of time. I couldn't even tell you what I was voting on in all 33. Some of them didn't make any sense, and I don't believe we had adequate time. That's why I was supportive of letting the motion lapse. Obviously, reform number 5, very topical. I agree with Councillor, you know who you are, Archer, that this motion sort of reform to me looks like who can they get out rather than who can they bring in, and I think it would chop a lot of people off at the legs if they aren't confident. You get a lot of courage and stuff from experience and community members that want to have a go. To go out and get 30 people, be it some of them might just be family, then what's the point? So it's, we want quality people in, and I think to roadblock so early on in the piece, I don't agree. And also, as Councillor Archer stated, some of these reforms relate to things that might be happening in the south that we don't have any knowledge on. So then to add any value to the debate, it's quite difficult. So I won't be voting in favour today.
Thank you, Councillor Lowe. Then we were over here when I think we had Councillor Ashley, and then rounding up the tail would be Councillor Mason. Councillor Ashley.
Thank you. I'm in agreement with Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe and Councillor Dawson. They had very, very good comments in regard to this paper. There's been no time for discussions on this paper or with and very limited time to have a look at things that are going to be relatively down the track as time goes on. I think a lot of these reactions that are in here are a lot of some knee-jerk reactions, and I think that we need to have... I won't be in favour of passing this motion today because I think that it needs more work.
Duly noted. Thank you very much, Councillor Ashley. And then Councillor Mason. Yeah, we got you. Jeez.
Looks am I sure?
Everyone's got something to say.
Right. Well, there's lots of parts of this motion that is just not practical, and we're a practical group of people. Especially Reform 5, you have to find 30 signatures. You might have to approach 40 or 50 people to get them 30 signatures. And can one ratepayer nominate two councillors? Do we know anything about that?
No.
You can go and approach someone and say, well, I can't support you because I've already supported Councillor Dawson. So if you had 60 people, 20 people stand for council, you're going to be looking at 600-800 people you've got to approach. And that's just absolute rubbish. They've gone from 2 to 30.
Yeah.
So whoever thought that up, if they're in local government, they should get out. Thank you.
I'm making a note here. I think we're on balance. We're at the point where we could probably edit that one specifically. I'll comment and I'm going to say that I am going to go along with everybody else. I think Reform 5 is troublesome. On one level, I get the fact that you want to have people of notable credibility, but on another level, I think that it excludes people who are either relative newcomers to your community or have not signed up for the popularity contest that is sometimes democracy. I think it should be, it's a little bit too much of an advancement. So I'll add my voice to the dissenters. We'll provide this feedback. I think on balance, if I can look across all the feedback today, Reform 5 seems to be the largest sticker, and I think we should modify that when we provide our feedback to ALGAT appropriately. Does anybody else want to speak to the motion? I'm so sorry if I missed you. It was unintentional. Councillor Barwick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do agree with Councillor Archer and Councillor Lowe and what all of them that have spoken about. I do believe that the Deputy Mayor, to me, should be elected in the community. We used to elect the Deputy Mayor around the table, but whoever you could got the best friends and whatever around the table is how it went. But I also have, I'll just go to the I'll go to page 84, which is reform number 10. The ones that have gone before me are okay. I don't have a I agree with those except I don't agree with Councillor Orr's suggestion of the Deputy Mayor. But on number 10, it says, provide that all intending candidates other than incumbent councillors must complete a prescribed program of pre-nomination training prior to their submission of a notice of nomination. The recommendation is that it supports that and should be accessible and available to people to participate by digital means. I have a problem with that because I question, does the state government have to, which I did at the workshop today, do the state government have to go through what we, who are non-paying people, that are representing a community, have to trade. Do they have to do training? The restrictions that this government puts on council laws is absolutely unbelievable at times. We don't have the, as you talked about, the privilege that the state government have as councillors. We have no protection by that, right? We're in trouble. So I don't support that there has to be training. You do this because you want to do, you want to go and do something for the community. That's my opinion. Reform 13, it says, establish that nomination by a registered party is to be included in the information published by the Tasmanian Electoral Commission and printed on the ballot paper with the candidate's name to be printed alongside the name of the registered party. I do not like politics coming into local government. It's local government, which is about the local people. It's not political parties, as far as I'm concerned. It shouldn't be. Political parties shouldn't come into it. The comment here is that it is supported. It provides for greater transparency and disclosing political party endorsement for the candidate. This reform does not require disclosure of party membership, however. I laugh at the word transparency. It's what I have stood for in the entire 34 years I've been on this council. And I'm still trying to fight for transparency. My other one that I have a concern about is, I'm sure actually, I'll go back to that number 13, I'm sure around this table the council laws did not want that to be accepted. I think we all spoke about the political parties that we didn't, as a council, did not want to support that. I may be wrong.
Yeah, maybe I can just paraphrase. I think the general consensus is that if you join as an individual, you're running your own ticket, your whatever memberships you hold is your own business. However, when you have the backing of a political party, their funding and support mechanisms, then you need to declare that. That's kind of how I remember the debate.
I don't believe it should happen anyway. That's my opinion.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to go to page 88, reform number 30. Reform provide that during the caretaker period, prohibit the council from making any major policy or financial decisions. The first one really came to mind, namely decisions relating to the appointment, reappointment, remuneration or termination of a general manager, other than a decision in respect of the appointment of an acting general manager under Section 61B. Did we have a caretaker mode in 2022?
Indeed.
We did.
Of course, you always have one.
And,
So 30 days during the period of the actual election, you have caretaker mode.
That's why I bring that up. It's amazing that we have council staff do know things that we don't know until it's too late, because it was in 2022 that we altered, redone the general manager's contracting.
So let me just be specific so that you understand. So
yeah.
Caretaker period is literally while you are in the process of election. So let's say, for example, as it will be next year in November, there is none of these decisions will be made during the month of November. But you can still make decisions like that from January through to October as per the normal role of government. You just cannot make it during that 30-day electoral window.
I understand that, but the management know all of this prior to us getting it, and so therefore things can occur that we don't see coming, and then we see it later. That's just all
I'm going to respectfully let you go, but I have a different point of view. But anyway.
Right.
You are the management, yes. All right, thank you very much. All right, I think we had a very good lap around there. I think just about everybody's said their bit. So there are a couple of notes that our acting general manager has taken on feedback from you, because in many ways we're commenting the cumulative weight of our feedback may influence the positions taken, so appropriate modifications will then be made to our submission. Agreed, Rick? Agreed. So we can now vote, and particularly the one on balance is Reform 5, where I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we had 6 different people point to that with differing opinions. So I think we can say Reform 5, there will be a different position in feedback. But we now still have a motion that we must vote on. So incorporating that change, I will put this to the vote. So all of those...
Do I get to close or not?
I beg your pardon. You're right. Sorry. Councillor Orr. I lost that. Councillor Orr, take it.
Okay. So regarding Councillor Barwick's response to being open and transparent, that's why I agree with this aspect of if you're backed by a political party, that's open and transparent. That should be on the ballot paper.
Correct. And that is the position in the paper.
Yep. Regarding having 30 signatures and not be able to, what Councillor Archer said, nominate them the day before, in the discussion paper, you can still do that. It's, so that was on 5, get to it. So acknowledge the potential impact of the measure on those who could gain the support of 30 electors, but who make the really late decision to nominate. Considering that we'll be getting into a 2-stage nomination process. So you can nominate in the last day, and then you still have a period of 2 or 4 weeks to get the signatures. So you can still do that aspect. So they've allowed for that as well. Regarding the aspect of the Deputy Mayor...
So that I can compile your vote on that one then, are you saying then that you agree with that reform of nominating...
Yep, absolutely, right, yep. Regarding the Deputy Mayor, our Deputy Mayor just said then about someone who's been voting by public and don't have experience of being Deputy Mayor, that's the whole point of having experienced councillors nominating the Deputy Mayor. You can also, they also look at maybe not having a Deputy Mayor. So when the Mayor is on leave, you nominate from the table the person taking that role. It also, and the Deputy Mayor said before about the amount of time he spends off work, for example. So it doesn't give the pressure on one other person being Deputy Mayor. So as a mover of this motion, I'm not going to change anything on the motion. So if you want the change, you need to get someone else to move the motion. Because I've moved the motion as is.
You have moved the motion as is.
So you need someone to put a full-shot of motion up or something else up.
Have you just finished that?
Thank you.
We want to do this so that at least reflects the wisdom of the councillors. Again,
I move that the motion be put.
I second.
Which means that we will be voting on all 33 reforms, noting that on Reform 5, there is a dominant position contrary to the officer's response. So 33 consistent, 1 not on balance. We
just
will now
question
to the vote.
Question through the chair to
the acting. The motion has been put.
That motion has been put. There is a procedural motion, so we must now execute that immediately. All right, so all debate will cease. We are going to vote on this motion. So as it stands before you, I will call all those in favour. Please raise your hand or say aye. It's a procedural motion. We're voting on the procedural motion alone at this stage. So we decide whether or not we will accept this procedural motion, which is to put the motion to a vote. So you're voting purely on whether you want to accept the procedural motion, end debate and move forward. All those in favour of the procedural motion, raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr against, we only have Councillor Harris. So the procedural motion has passed by 8-1. The procedural motion is to put the vote. So we will now put the vote on item 8.4 as in front of you. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, Councillor Orr and Councillor Dawson. Against, we have Councillor Barwick, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley, Councillor Archer, Councillor Lowe. The motion is lost 6-3. Let me just quickly get my notes. So just to remind me again, the three that were in favour was myself, Councillor Orr, and Councillor Dawson. No. Okay, good. So the motion is lost by 6-3. Correct. Beg your pardon? 6-3. Correct. Right, and then notably, again, because again, Councillor, so Algat still would like a response. Again, with your permission, we will miss the window entirely if this goes to workshop. I think we should strongly modify point reform 5. I'm hoping that that's the general consensus. Duly noted, Rick? Are you out of time?
Yes, but then how can you send something to them? You're not going to be able to send something to them.
Well, that's why this is a double-ended motion, because you're right. We have no more time. So we either post a nil response back to Algat. Well, technically you're correct, because we have not supported the motion. But of the 33 reforms, you have one that you have an objection to.
Of the 33 reforms, we have just chosen not to contribute.
So be it. Anyway, so be it. Let's go with the motion as it stands. A missed opportunity, but it is what it is. Individual councillors can still submit a response if you feel passionately inclined to do so. Alright, that leads us to 8.5. 8.5 is the rescinding of obsolete motions and the removal of motions from the outstanding motions register. For the benefit of the gallery, every time we pass a motion here, it actually goes onto a list which informs the council team of what they need to do. We keep a list of the decisions we've made and the progress of the council team against those decisions. From time to time, you need to revisit that list, make sure that you've actioned what you've actioned, what is still outstanding, and what may no longer be relevant. That list commences on page 93. The colour coding indicates the status of the council team against those actions or those motions. Green being completed, yellow being incompleted but pending feedback, and the white being simply still in progress. So the motion basically looks to remove from the register those that are green.
So moved.
Thank you very much. I think you guys are getting tired of me, aren't you? I'm trying to make the audio record somewhat informative. I'm clearly failing. So we have a mover from Councillor Dawson, seconded by Councillor Harris. So who's the mover? Was it you?
Councillor Dawson.
Councillor Dawson, I thought so. And are you the seconder? Councillor Harris.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't see you raise your hand. I didn't want to take Councillor Mason's word. Yes. Faster than you know. Councillor Dawson, take it away.
Simply a tidy up of what we're
received. Thank you, Chelsea. Thanks for attending.
On a regular basis, I think all councillors would agree that once items are resolved, that we need to move on. So I support the motion in its entirety.
Thank you very much. Councillor Harris is our seconder.
And they may need to move on more often. Thank you.
I'll open that to the floor. Speakers for, against, or questions? Councillor Archer.
Not wholly in support of this. I've got no problem with the motions that have been completed being removed, but there's two motions there that it's as part of the motion that we rescind them, and one being new and renewed lease arrangements, and the other being council expenses. Now, if we rescind those, that means that God only knows what lease arrangements can be. You know, I don't particularly disagree with renewed lease arrangements, but new lease arrangements be committed to by council, the entity, without council or the people knowing about it. And the other one being councillor expenses, and if that gets rescinded, that means that councillor expenses will no longer be reported in the quarterly report. I don't think this is good governance. I don't know how that's ended up in there, but anyway, that's my thoughts. I can't support it with part three being in the motion.
Thank you. Through the chair to the acting general manager, do you want to comment on motion 0623, the notice of motion for new and renewed lease arrangements? So that is simply listed as ongoing. Is it that operational? I know, because we now have this difference between what are policies and what are operating procedures. So give us some guidance on how this is shown.
Can I have a question through the chair?
Yes. I think I've just asked one, though.
That's similar to this.
Go for it.
The item is 10323 that Councillor Archer's described, the councillor's expenses.
Yeah, the same one.
This item, as it reads here, is the council expenses quarterly report available on the website. Item one is what?
There's a different one. So that's the expenses one.
Yeah. Sorry, my
18323 is the one you just...
Yeah, that's my mistake, sorry, because I knew it was in the quarterly report, but that it be reported on the website. Sorry, that was my mistake.
Which page is the expenses one?
Page
102. Yeah. Page 102. Thank you. Council expense quarterly report available on the website. Items that the expense pay is I like to take kilometres of travel. But if something is operationalised as our standard template, does it stay on for in perpetuity on the motions? No, we're not rescinding it, are we?
It is.
So again, because surely there must be a balance of when maybe this is just my comprehension. When something has been internalized into our standing operating procedures, does that mean that you still need to hold that motion in perpetuity?
The motion, it's not just a case of the motion falling off because it's now a standard operating procedure. The recommendation is specifically to rescind those two motions. Therefore, they would not be in effect any longer. They're treating those two motions specifically different to the other.
I can see where you're coming from. I just wonder how this has happened. I don't understand.
Mr. Chairman, this is actually, we as a council, under our authority, have control of this item. But I had a motion come up, it went through council to say that the new council had come on board and a motion was put forward. And it got, I'd put a motion up that we, delegation was to stay with the council. I was in hospital at the time that that motion was put forward, and I think Councillor Archer did make comment that it shouldn't be put while I was not there to put it, because the law says I'm to put it. But this, we're the only ones under section 1920, I'm not sure, that has the authority to use the seal. We authorise the use of the seal. The council gave the delegation to the general manager, and you might notice that it said the general manager or the delegate are authorised to execute leases of an operational nature. Now, even all leases and that were to come through the table, which we have been getting some coming through after the event, but the general manager has a right to use the seal on operational stuff like planning.
I understand.
Signing those off. But to me, this is part of, I think you need, this needs to come back before
I think it looks
like being rescinded.
I think it does.
So we get a decent response.
Procedural motion.
We have a procedural motion from the deputy to defer.
No, I can't do a procedural motion. Okay, so procedural
motion to defer, is that correct?
I would like to make...
Is he the mover?
I could ask if I can, Councillor Harris, if he'd consider removing point 3 and only support point 1 and 2.
Sorry?
I think there's a miscomprehension here. That is my personal read. I think
And if that's the case, then we can bring...
Defer
point 3
it to the next workshop so that we can understand the rationale on those ones. And then you can bring it back. There's nothing pressing here that you couldn't do in the next 30 days. There's no decision that is imminent, that is time-bound. So you could defer.
If somebody would like to defer this item?
Yeah.
I need motion?
Yeah, the whole motion. Defer it.
The whole thing.
Correct. But I need somebody to move a procedural motion to defer.
Okay.
I can't do it. You're the seconder. You're the mover and the seconder. So either you vote on this thing in its current form or you take it back to workshop. Councillor Mason is moving a procedural motion to defer by Councillor Mason. To defer. Well, no, because you now have a mover for a procedural motion. But he has to have a
seconder.
He does need to have a seconder. Is there somebody who's going
to... Yeah, I just want to ask a question. Is why...
No. If there, until a seconder appears, the procedural motion is not valid. So I need a seconder before I can do anything. Or
but I would like to ask...
And she's asked the question, so I have to ask...
Thank you. I'd like to ask, if we... Can we continue with going through this list and defer the rescinding of the... At the back, we've got all the items listed, and then there's two others that come under an item number 2, which is... That could be where we say rescind the rest, that we leave that off and just go item 1, which says...
Yes, that's another option.
And notes the motion. I'm only just trying to make it easier.
No, you could.
That we all...
You finished?
You could if you wanted to. You can move item 1 and 2, drop 3. Or, again, if you could have... This could be... deferred to workshop, and we can understand the motivation of why those two things are spread out separately.
So
I don't really
understand.
I second the procedural motion.
Sorry?
I second the procedural motion.
So you're the... Okay, so now we have a procedural motion because we have a seconder by Councillor Orr. So now we have a valid procedural motion. So all debate stops. We are now going to vote on the procedural motion, which is to defer. So all those in favour of the procedural motion to defer, raise your hand or say aye. We have, and those against, we have basically Councillor Barwick.
That's it.
So we have, so that motion is carried 8-1, Heather Barwick against. So now we have a valid procedural motion. So now we're going to vote on that procedural motion to defer. All those in, don't you first validate it and then...
Not in this case,
it's 1. So we've actually voted to defer, period. I think you got me right there. Okay. Deferred. Okay, so 8.5 is then deferred to the next available workshop. I think we do need to understand that one a bit better. Okay. 8.6, this is the ALGAT General Meeting. There are a few, let me move that thing out of the way. There were a few different items. The key ones is Waratah Onward, who basically want a position statement of offshore oil and gas development in Tasmania. Hobart wants a decision based on the funding of line marking for local government. I can't remember who did the energy efficient one. I think, wasn't that Latrobe? Was it also Hobart? They want a 7-star energy efficiency standard implemented. Those are the three key ones that we have to discuss. The ALGA meeting is... When is the ALGA meeting again? The ALGA...
2nd
August. Is it? No, it's sooner than that. 2nd of April. So... In order for me to be guided by you so that I know how to represent you, we need to debate at least these three things. So the first one is, and I think we can open it, you can comment in three different ways. The first one, let me read it to you, that ALGAP publish a position statement on offshore oil and gas exploration and development in Tasmania and Commonwealth waters off Tasmania, consistent with the goals of the Paris Agreement and the latest and best available science. That ALGAP advocate to the Tasmanian state and federal government to not approve any new offshore oil and gas exploration and development in Tasmanian and Commonwealth waters. So when you go around the table, if you can all comment on that, I'd love to know your position. The second one is the Hobart one for line marking, that the Local Government Association of Tasmania lobby the Tasmanian government to urgently increase the allocation of state-based funds for line marking on local government roads to more closely align with the quantum required to meet safe operating standards. And then the last one is the 7-star efficiency standard by Hobart. The Local Government Association of Tasmania lobby the Tasmanian government to adopt the 7-star energy efficiency requirements of the National Construction Code of 2022 to provide more comfortable homes with lower energy running costs. It would be of help to me if we go around the table and you let me know your thoughts on those three motions. Is everyone comfortable with that approach?
I move the motion.
So we have a mover from Councillor Orr, seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Orr, and then when I open, you can open by commenting on all three if you like, and then we'll go around and we'll fill in the blanks.
So that determines that the Mayor is authorised to vote at the LGAT General Meeting 2nd of April 2025 in accordance to the Council's strategic direction, policy and Council resolutions, with due consideration of any conference debate on items listed for discussion at the meeting. I find some of those ones interesting. If we, as a council, should be involved in some of these positions, so offshore oil and gas development, it's outside our area of government, so
you're
I wouldn't support that one. Funding and line marking, yes.
Yes.
Up to 7-star efficiency requirements, no.
No.
Because it's additional cost to households, and I think our energy efficiency is well.
Well, we're falling behind in our construction targets.
It's costing a lot of money. Yeah. We're trying to keep the cost of things down, and I don't support that one.
Councillor Mason as seconder, take it away.
I'll support Councillor Roran is. Motion.
So you're going to support item one, as in say you don't agree with proposed offshore oil and gas development, the position to stop it, so you don't support that. You also support that they increase funding for line marking, and you're also going to say that you don't agree making a 7-star energy efficiency standard. Okay, so I'm adding and ticking and collating your votes. Thank you. And then in no particular order, I think we went this time, last time, we'll fill in the blanks this way around. Councillor Dawson.
If we're going around the table, I am also supportive of the proposed offshore oil and gas development in Tasmania.
So you would like them to have a position to not, or you don't agree with that?
I agree with the motion. Establish a position on offshore oil and gas exploration and development in Tasmanian waters, and the GAT advocate on Tasmanian state and federal government. So, yes, I approve it.
Thank you. And line marking?
Yes.
Add more money? Yes. And seven-star efficiency rating?
I agree with that, in contravention to the other two.
So you are yes. That leads us to Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. So if I just run the list, unfortunately I don't really understand what the first motion's asking. I don't have general knowledge and I just can't comprehend, so I'm happy just to state that and then you can make the decision based on...
Well, I'm going to say, in essence, you're abstaining and our normal practice is that means you don't really support it.
Well, I'll have to abstain because I don't have the knowledge.
No, that's a fair position.
And it doesn't matter how much I read, I don't think I'm going to get there. I do support the line marking. I think in a number of iterations this has come around that there's been some concern about how local government can do the line marking more affordably. So if that's what this is saying, to give local government more money to do that themselves, then yes. And I do support the seven-star energy efficiency. Obviously, there's a lot more in-depth than just some of the information that we've been presented, but I think that we have a long history of housing stock that don't meet any form of standard and people are being moved out of their homes for mould and they can't afford, they're not designed for having the benefit of the day sun, etc. So I just think that any advancement on better rated energy rated homes is something I'd support.
Thank you very much. So I'm putting you down as a you do support. That leads us to Councillor Harris.
No.
No.
No and yes.
No and yes. Thank you. Councillor Archer.
Yeah, it's a bit of a first one, I don't think. It's not really local government business, so to speak, but acknowledging what one of the biggest issues with the Commonwealth Waters is the seismic testing, and it's not like in state-controlled areas, especially on land, where you have to all your testing is logged with the Mineral Resources Tasmania and within Commonwealth Waters, it's not logged with a government body. So somebody gets a lease, goes over it, seismic tests. Fishermen don't like it. A couple of years later, happens again over the same area because with a different crowd. But that said, it's not local government business. Number two.
So I'm going to record you as a no
on that one. But,
hello. Yep.
But funding for line marking on local government roads. Geez, well, I suppose I'd have to say yes. But geez, I don't know why that one's singled out as, we could have funding for other stuff.
Thank you.
The energy efficient thing. I'm going to say no to that one. I've had in-depth discussion with a good builder in the last few weeks, and these increased energy efficiency requirements actually are leading to constructions that don't have the longevity of older houses. Where you can't, the insulation's that thick that you can't keep it away from the iron. Makes the iron go rotten, believe it or not, because moisture's trapped there. And that adds to the overall expense of housing, significantly. And this is one of the biggest things, is these standards and more regulations is a big impost on the cost of housing these days. So I don't support that one.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Councillor Ashley?
I don't support the first one, because I don't think it's really anything to do with local business.
Yep.
The second one, for the line marking, yes, I support that.
Thank you.
And the adoption of the seven-star energy efficiency requirements. I understand under legislation that it has to be five-star but not seven, so probably I wouldn't support that as well.
Thank you. Councillor Mason?
I think it is required.
Maybe. No, so currently it's not seven star.
No.
It's definitely not seven star.
five star. I looked it up.
Tamara, what is the official adopted Energy Star rating in our building code?
I don't know, seven, but I'm not quite sure where we're at.
Okay, fair enough. It's definitely not seven. But yeah, seven more. Councillor Mason. Thank you. Councillor Mark.
Mr Chair, and I agree with the line marking. I haven't seen any paperwork on any of the other issues to even make a decision either way on either of the rest of them. Thank you.
And then for transparency, I do not support item one. I do support line marking and I do not support the seven star energy requirement. Alright, so everybody has now had a lap around. So in summary, our position as a council is not to support one, to support line marking, and not to support the seven star rating. So that's our cumulative position as a council. As I normally do, if there are contrary motions, amendments, all the rest, I'll do the best I can to represent you all. Well, that we'll put that to the vote.
Sum up.
Well, Councillor Orr to close. I beg your pardon. Nearly did it a second time.
To close again, so on the first point, we're not having an opinion on greenhouse or Paris Agreement, anything at all. We're just saying that we don't think this is somewhere local government should be involved in at this stage.
Yep.
Regarding Councillor Lowe's aspect of moulding buildings, on a previous life I was on a HIA board and we definitely looked at the housing efficiency requirements, and there was major issues with having buildings too airtight, and they was actually creating mould issues by having no effort for moisture to escape. They have alleviated some of those by relaxing a little bit with insulation requirements to the eaves and to the ridge and so on, let the air go out. So then to make it seven-star energy efficiency, you're going to start looking at putting in air filtration systems. It's additional cost to people trying to build a house. And when we're trying to keep housing costs down, I think we should look where we can to keep it down as much as possible.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. And with that, we will put the motion to the vote. All of those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Councillor Keyes, Councillor Mason, Councillor Ashley.
I don't know whether you which ones we're supporting and which one of them we're supporting or not. So.
Councillor Harris. So the position that, let me just go for the benefit of Councillor Archer. So it's no, yes, and no. Okay, so you're supporting. And then we had Councillor Harris, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Orr, Councillor Dawson, Councillor Keyser. So are you, what's your vote? Yes or no?
No.
Abstain. 8-1 against Councillor Barwick. The motion is carried. Okay, so here we are now in infrastructure and development, item 9.1, the Crown Land Agreement, the Pipers River Recreation Ground. So after much debate and engagement with the Pipers River Progress Association and DeBoat, basically the short of it is, hey, let's update the lease, but basically don't change it. That's it, right? Can I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor Dawson? Jeepers. Dawson? Seconded by Councillor Mason. Councillor Dawson?
No, I think you just mentioned what was actually going on. It's update and move on. It's one of those things that needs to be done. We still had 28 years left on, but it's come to our, knowledge that we're at a point where we need to renew it now. After the CLAP program and everything else expired in the past. So time to move on and update our situation.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
Authorise the General Manager to sign and seal the required documentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll open that to the floor. Speakers for, against or questions?
Do we have a some description of actually the title of the land or what we're looking at?
We don't have the map in the attachments. Do you have a description of the title through the chair?
It's to
the I provided the map to the Louise and the Mandy one.
Yep.
I'm not sure
Well, it's exactly as it currently is, if that is somewhat helpful.
Yes.
Through the tennis courts all the way through to the boundary fence and the area opposite the fire station. So it's unchanged from what it is, which means they can still land the helicopters during firefighting season.
I'll talk to the motion. So this is a situation where I don't believe the council realised we even had a lease on the land, and that's why I'm asking for clarification of what we actually have a lease of. We did have a workshop session. We did have a rough idea where the map is. I would like to see the map, but say I'm still not approved. I'm still happy to support this motion. The Property Association has been in a bit of a recession since they lost, I believe, lost the community hall there. They do have a local neighbour watch group there. Property Association do have funds in the bank and so on, but they are looking at getting it re-established again. So I'll probably support the aspect of getting that. It's a nice little community out there. The Pipers River Public Area has quite a high number of ratepayers that when you look at where we put funding towards, they are quite lacking. And I think that's probably because they haven't had a really strong voice for having the association to have a somewhere they can call home. So currently they are using the Piper River Fire Brigade, which is not really a fit purpose building for community events, as we've had road shows there where they're going to move the fire truck out to have a get together, issues with fumes in the building with the fire truck and so on. So I think having that land across the road, the Pipes River Fire Brigade are looking at expanding in the future as well, so hopefully we can work with them with their expansion programs, and they may be looking at using this piece of land as well, but that's in the future as well, so I'll support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor.
Mr. Chairman.
Hold us hold for us just a second. I don't think you need it because you can. You've got the numbers, but I mean, I think for a workshop we should at least socialise the plan and the title. And we should do that piece of work.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just note that for a follow-on item. All right, so the... Are there any other speakers' questions to the motion? Councillor Barwick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To go back quite a few years, when the hall was pulled down, it was a timber hall, it was an old hall. When it was pulled down, it goes back a long time, Andrew Taylor was the councillor on the council at the time, and we did, as a council, make a promise to the Pipers River Group that we would replace their hall. And that goes back many years. And it's taken all this time to even get at looking at, okay, this land, I agree with this land, us having the lease on this land. There is a hall on that, a building on that land that they can utilise to have their meetings in at the moment instead of using the fire brigade shed, but the fire brigade shed were quite happy to allow every meeting to be held there because I've been to quite a few of them. But I think we, as a council, in all these years, need to look at doing the promise that we made many, many years ago to support that community out there. And that's all I'd like to say on that.
Somewhat off-topic, but well spoken. All right, if there's nobody else, I'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Dawson, to close.
And nothing further to add.
All right, we'll put that to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Arter, are you for? Good, good. So we're unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, a new item for the agenda in corporate and community 10.1 is the inclusion of our audit panel committee minutes. This one for the 11th of December 2024. The minutes are presented in the attachments. Maybe we should ask our two representatives. Well, maybe we should call for a mover and a seconder first, and then we should ask them if they are comfortable that the minutes are a fair reflection. So, Councillor Mason, are you our mover? Councillor Mason is our mover. And seconded by Councillor Archer, in interest? Councillor Dawson? Councillor Dawson is our seconder. Councillor Mason as the mover.
Just received the report. There's the minutes.
And are you happy that the minutes are a reflection of the meeting?
They are.
They are. Thank you very much. Councillor Dawson as our seconder.
Thank you. It looks like they've been fairly busy in the audit panel, and it's great to see.
Thank you very much. I'll open the floor to anybody who wants to speak to those audit panel minutes. Councillor Archer, you were attendee.
No, I was absent in December.
Oh, you're absent for that one, I beg your pardon. Well, I was an attendee, and it looks about right to me. That's all I can really say. Which means I pass it back to Councillor Mason to close.
I put the motion there, thank you.
I'll put that. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Thank you. Motion is carried unanimously. All right. The community assistance grants for round two, as you know, we have, and so it's good to have Cheryl here. So the high level
is... I'll raise the recommendation, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, thank you. Can I just, for the benefit of the gallery and for those on the audio recording, just quickly sum up the high level picture? So we have a total budget allocation of $40,000. We have $6,611 through the four different applications in this paper, which are four. Let me sum this up. Bellingham Progress Association, $611. Georgetown Football Club, $2,000. Outer Cove Creative, $2,000. The Rotary Club of Georgetown, as per the presentation in workshop today, for $2,000. That's the lot.
I'll second it.
So our mover is Councillor Archer, seconded by Councillor Dawson, and that encompasses all four grants received for $6,611. I'll open the floor to anybody, speakers for, against, or questions. Oh, beg your pardon. Sorry. God, what's happening with my head today? Councillor Archer,
That's all right. We're just, it's all pretty standard, run of the mill. Righto, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Dawson, a seconder. Yeah, I know how you're having my moment.
Yeah.
It's a long day.
Ditto, Councillor Archer.
Ditto, thank you. Councillor Barwick, I know you've got something to say.
I just want to ask a question on fee remissions of $3,394.
Yep.
Dollars. What were those fee remissions for? And who were they for? Different people.
Through the chair to the Director of Corporate and Community.
Thank you, Chair. The fee remissions are remissions of hall hire fees relating to community groups that hire the hall in accordance with our current community grants program policy, and so those people apply for a fee remission at the time they're hiring a hall if they're to meet the criteria that requires that. So that those fee remissions are approved by the general manager.
Thank you.
They're approved by the general manager.
Okay. That's not through the general manager's discretion. No, that's per policy. Any other speakers for or against the questions? Councillor Orr?
Yes, I'll respond this motion. I think we've got a broad range of applications here. Pickleball is a growing sport, and it's good to see association taking initiative in putting line markings on the local our local tennis court there. I believe the other groups in different areas of the municipality are looking at doing similar things, but it depends on the grade of the tennis court and is upgrading or not. The Outer Cove Creative Inc., that's an interesting one with the art community. Hopefully they can do some workshops throughout, not just Georgetown, throughout the whole municipality as well. And I think it's good to be putting money towards for junior football players, junior sports players. With the cost of living aspect for young families is pretty tough these days, so it'd be good to have some funds go towards helping young families. And Tipperary Hills Trailhead is probably a requirement for a shelter out there. They do have, we do have events out there, big and large events, even at the end of your ride, you sort of want someone to sit down and just take your boots off and just cool down. So having a little shelter there, I think that's great for the Rotary Club, is putting, doing that project. It's an $18,000 project, so it's good on these groups to do that sort of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Orr. Anybody else, speakers for or against questions?
I'll just very briefly say that this is always the most hotly contested item of the year, despite its numeric value. I love the fact that we have a diverse range of clubs and passionate individuals where we can provide a little bit of assistance for the benefit of our community. And so I welcome all of the applicants this time around. Most importantly, it is within our budget and we can afford to do it without an impost on our community financially. So I will absolutely support the motion. Councillor Archer to close.
Closed. Thank you.
We will put that to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And it looks like we're unanimous again.
No.
We are not unanimous. It is 8-4 against Councillor Harris. Okay. Right. In the ever-increasing commitments and time management of a few lucky individuals, we are proud to present the Georgetown Health and Wellbeing Committee appointment. And so basically this is standing up a new Section 24 Special Committee. She's really shaking her head. So this is basically now to find a chair for the Georgetown Health and Wellbeing Strategy. And the committee that we are standing up. The good news, you move. So we have a mover from Councillor Mason nominating Councillor Lowe. Seconded by Councillor Ashley. Before we move any forward, Councillor Lowe, do you accept the nomination?
Only if there are no other people wanting, no other councillors that have the desire to chair. I'm happy to be chair, but I'm also happy to see if somebody else would like that position.
I will then, in respect to Councillor Lowe, just to ensure that there are no other nominees, does anybody else wish to nominate somebody for that position? Going once, going twice. Congratulations, Councillor Lowe. So, we have a mover from Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Mason, is there anything you'd like to say as mover?
Oh, I will say something. Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Lowe is a leading community leader in this area, and she's well known throughout the North. She's well known for her compassion and consideration of people. And I think she will make an excellent chairperson. And it's with pleasure that I nominate her as chairperson.
Thank you very much. Councillor Ashley, as seconder.
I agree with everything Councillor Mason says. I think Councillor Lowe is the ideal person to carry out this role. I think she has all the attributes that are required. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, I will open it to the floor. Speakers for or against questions? Councillor Lowe, any commentary beyond what you've already provided?
Yeah, no, thank you. It's a position that I think that will dovetail nicely with my 9-to-5 job at Neighbourhood House. Not saying that there'll be any, there'll need to be some conversations around what the Neighbourhood House role and my role play, but obviously I can't unknow what I know, and I just think it'd be a good opportunity for me to be able to pull our committee together that'll be able to bring in all the information, hear about the shortcomings in community, and then put some messages back out. In particular, hearing today from the gallery that the mental health support services that are required and also the suicide prevention and suicide support services. My role at Neighbourhood House, I could confirm that those services are in Georgetown, but clearly that information is not getting out to people that it needs. So there are four mental health support services that operate out of Neighbourhood House alone, and two suicide prevention services. So it'll be a key role of the community to get information back out to... Sorry, the key role of the committee to get information back out to the community as one aspect. And I look forward to working with those that align with the same values. Thank you.
Personally, I'd like to thank you very much for taking on this additional burden work-wise. I know your time is precious, but I'm confident that you are the right person and will do our community proud. With that, Councillor Mason to close, I think.
Thank you, Mayor. Congratulations, Councillor. We've got the full support of this committee and this council. Thank you.
And with that, we'll put the motion to the vote. All of those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We have Councillor Keyser, we have Councillor Mason, we have Councillor Ashley, we have Councillor Archer, we have Councillor Harris, we have Councillor Lowe. You can vote in yourself. Councillor Orr and Councillor Dawson against.
Mr Chairman, I would have liked to have had something to say prior to why I'm voting against this, but because you went straight into putting a motion, I stuck with what
I would love to have given you that opportunity. It's with regret that I somehow seem to have missed you. All right, so Councillor against is Councillor Barwick. The motion is carried 8-1. That leads us to item 10.4, as again we're accompanied by the Director of Corporate and Community, Miss Cheryl Hyde. From time to time, every year, we need to declare to the state government whether or not we intend to take out additional borrowings. Our current ratio is improving. Our targeted debt ceiling remains consistent despite our overperformance. My understanding is that we will not be taking any further borrowings, and we will advise Treasury as such, and that is the recommendation. Can I call for a mover and a seconder? The mover is Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Dawson. Councillor Mason.
I'll move the officer's recommendation and note that we're in a good spot if we don't have to borrow any money.
Fantastic. Councillor Dawson.
Copy what Councillor Mason's had to say. We've done quite a good job so far with the finance, and things are headed in the right direction.
We will open the floor to speakers for and against, and I will jump in and ask a question to the Director of Corporate and Community. I'm looking at the 10-year financial plan and our overall prognosis of our key financial indicators. Do you want to talk us through where we currently stand, please?
So as you can see, Mayor, the Council's financial strategy has certain targets that we are assuming to achieve, and we have been achieving those in the last few years. Our long-term financial plan, as approved by Council and recently reviewed, continues to have an improved cash flow and cash basis based on our current borrowings. Of course, that will be impacted if we take any further borrowings out in coming years, but that's basically all I can say about the indicators. I just will say that any additional borrowings is always reported to Treasury and approved by Treasury prior to the borrowings being approved. And so should Council change their mind and need to borrow funds through any year, it would have to go through a Treasury process.
And how would you state our overall current ratio position of cash to long-term debt? Healthy? Unhealthy?
I think that we're in a healthy position and financially sound position at the moment.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Speakers for, against, or questions? We'll hand it back to our mover, Councillor Mason, to close.
I put the motion, thank you, Mayor.
We put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All say aye. We are unanimous. Thank you, Cheryl. Much appreciated. Section 11, organisational performance and strategy. This month there are nil. Good. Good, Lou. All good? I didn't mind the screen there. All right, Section 12, Office of the Mayor. So 12.1 is matters of involvement for the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, and for councillors, so should they wish to report. We have a mover from Councillor Barwick, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Are you... take it away, Councillor Barwick, and feel free to ask a question while you're at it.
I'm going to do that, Mr. Chairman. You chair the Progress Association. What Progress Association was that?
It is actually every one of our Progress Associations in the municipality. Once a quarter, we endeavour to bring representatives from each of those boards into the council chamber.
So that's that one.
Correct, and we basically give them an update on outstanding items, budget processes, all the rest. I note that the newly established Bellboy Beach Progress Association were an apology.
Were?
An apology.
Okay. I haven't received the minutes of that one yet. I usually get the minutes and
haven't received
those yet.
Not yet. You will get them. Thank you very much. Anybody? So Councillor Barwick was our mover. That means I move to Councillor Ashley as our seconder.
You just said I think everything's fine. I just had a question about the meeting with the Japanese delegates. How did that go?
Yes, thank you very much for your question. It was very interesting. So, as you know, Able Energy, as supported by the Bell Bay Advanced Manufacturing Zone, are a proponent to develop green methanol primarily for the heavy shipping industry. In their efforts to raise capital for their project, we entertained representatives from Mitsubishi Corporation. From Mitsubishi Corporation in Japan. We had the pleasure of not only receiving them but presenting them with local goods from our artisan's store as gifts, as is the custom to Japanese corporate visitors, so which they were very appreciative of. We also were joined by Professor Ross Garneau, who is one of the representatives. I forget the name of the company. Zen Energy. Zen Energy are now wholly underwriting the development of the Able Energy project and seeking investment from Mitsubishi Corporation. So, again, it's with great pleasure to stand behind our community and anything that creates jobs and prosperity that we receive them, and later on had the pleasure of dining with them in Launceston. Unfortunately, we couldn't dine with them locally because they all were hotelled in Launceston, which burnt a hole in me. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Councillor Orr, would you like to tell us about... Councillor Dawson, would you like to tell us about the exhibition which you attended at the Jim Mooney Gallery?
Not particularly. I can't remember the name of the... I've been to a couple of them recently. There was one there. The gentleman had done quite a few art pieces. They were pretty much spheres, round interpretations. They were quite interesting. I can't remember his name. I've been to a couple of different things, and I've had a few weeks of shift work. But it was interesting. There was one there. There was another one that we had with miniature artwork up at the Watch House. That was quite interesting as well. We've had quite a few interesting art shows in and around the community recently. I think Georgetown's a place to be.
Thank you very much. I have one further question. So, Councillor Orr, I had the good pleasure of joining you on a scuba dive inspection of the swimming pool. Would you like to reflect on the occasion and possibly any observations from the day's activities?
Yes, I was just before they closed in the morning, so we did turn up there and had some strange looks from the normal day morning swimmers. So did a bit of a check out the bottom of the pool, what with the scuba gear. It's interesting when you actually do scuba around the pool and you have a look at the line, size of the walls, and you look at the cracks and the movement in it. It's surprising. You know, some big bulges in the deep end on the wall. And as I say, we spoke to him beforehand, so you sort of notice the cracks. He did mention about during the winter time how moisture does come up out of the surface, and of course we've got a lot of iron in our groundwater, leaves iron marks on stains of pool in the during the winter time. So you can still see those sort of areas as well. So, it was very interesting. So, maybe hopefully in the future that with a new aquatic centre that we can do scuba classes there.
Thank you very much, Councillor Orr. Councillor Ashley.
I'd just like to say too that I had the pleasure of attending also, as did Councillor Orr, the Shropton Miss International Women's Day breakfast. It was very, very well run and a very good morning.
Thank you very much, and thank you for representing us. All right, if there are no more questions, Councillor Dawson.
Probably not a question, but I just reflected back. Emma Magnuson-Reed was the young lady, and Emma and Amy Bartlett that had the two offerings recently on that Saturday the 15th of March. It was basically our early mornings meet and greet. One of them was held at the Jimuna Gallery and the other one up at our watch house. Both fantastic. I got into the first one, couldn't attend the second one. I had other engagements, but just to give a bit of an update on that.
Thank you. I appreciate the updates. All right. Councillor Bowie. Oh, Councillor Loth. I nearly missed you.
Yes, sorry. Also, just reflecting on what we've listened to for question and answers, and I'm glad it does say in here that it was an informative visit with the mayor, so I didn't understand what was happening. I certainly didn't understand it was a scuba diving expedition. So I did just want to make comment that it seemed like, from what Councillor Orr said, that it was to view cracks and to have a look. And I was just wondering why we would think that Councillor Orr would need to do that. So I guess I'm just a little bit baffled, and it caught me off guard that that's what it was. So I felt I had to make the comment to ask the question.
I think we're both going to comment on that in tandem, so I'll let you start, Councillor.
Yeah, so as a councillor, obviously going out and about our own time looking at different facilities, and it's also an opportunity to look at a local pool in a different light and different aspect, something that most people don't get to see. For another example, you know, I've put down, I went to see Swell. So Swell is the Spifton Wellbeing Indoor Recreation Leisure Centre. Just haven't been to Spifton. We don't get paid just to go up there. Just I was in Spifton, so I called in out of their facilities. So that, like, they are in similar size municipality to us. Bigger in the area, but population-wise, and it's interesting they've got a new centre there, which is six lanes, and I would like to have six lanes as well, but we can't afford that. They also have a hot water or therapy pool as well, not as large as what ours is going to be. And I did notice it was Sunday morning, about 11 o'clock, there was more people in the therapy pool than there was in the lap pool. That might have changed from the early morning to later on. I did ask the young lady there, who she was very obliging to let me in and have a look around. They also have a small gym, very well utilised as well. So, they do have a little splashdown indoor area for the young kids. That wasn't being utilised at all. It was more parents that were with the bubs and young kids in the warm water pool. possibly one visit. They don't have an outdoor area that is grass. They do have an outdoor area which is concrete, pretty bland sort of looking, but that does work okay for groups to get there for barbecues and parties and so on there. So I think all our councils are out and about looking at different facilities, so we've got an idea of what ours may look like as well. Thank you.
And in parallel, I'll also comment on that, because it's it was very interesting to get in the water and inspect the pool from the inside as we were doing the diving. And so the things that stuck out in my mind, so firstly, I preface this by saying I am not a qualified civil engineer, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I was alarmed to see that the walls have a bow in them. And again, to the untrained eye, it looks like the outside pressure is causing deformation in the walls. We had a good conversation with Ian Ware. Again, Ian is not a structural engineer by any stretch of the imagination, but he did show us some interesting things, cracking in the weir boxes around the pool, as well as some other really interesting points. So, again, from a layman's point of view, it sounded like there was some consistency in the reports that we received that the pool is showing its age. It is, it is approaching the end of its useful life, would be how I would, as a layman, characterize it. So that was the output of the day. I thought it was an interesting exercise to do. And while I was there, interesting, I met with Michelle. What's Michelle's surname? The regional swim coordinator for the government. Can you remember? Michelle Brigg. So Michelle Brigg, she runs all of the government's regional swim programs in the north of the state. So all the schools, all of the whole lot. She effectively does the whole lot. Had a very informative discussion with her. She was overwhelmingly supportive, encouraging in the move to move the pool indoors to expand the swimming season. And that aligns with a key objective, in her words, which will broaden the base of appeal and broaden the base of participation. I was alarmed to hear that 40% of children today cannot meet a minimum swimming proficiency test. So, again, it was very interesting and nice to have a person in that position who is a qualified person voice such strong support for a profound change. So it was very interesting.
Just a question, Michelle Brook.
Michelle Brook, thank you very much. Thank you. All right, any more questions? Otherwise, I'll move it back to the mover.
Look, I've just got a question about this sort of condition report that we've just been, potted condition report that we've just been given on the quality of the pool and the bowed walls that are in the pool. Are they, I imagine they've got cracks along the apex of these bowed parts, have they?
It's hard to really answer that objectively. I can tell you what I absolutely saw was a leaning and a curvature in the wall. There's paint and filling and all the rest. It was hard to really comment on that.
Yeah,
again,
just seems to me like, you know, concrete's not real ductile, and you know, if there's barred walls, it's probably more of what was it built 38 years ago? It's probably more of the quality of the formwork that was used.
It may well be.
Rather than, anyway, that's just my thoughts.
I would definitely not advise anyone to take structural engineering advice from me. But that's what it looked like. Yeah, good, good. All right. Councillor Barwick, anything you want to say in closing? All right, let's put that one to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. And we are unanimous. Okay, that leads us to Section 13, petitions. And this month we do have a petition. Section 13.1 is to acknowledge and receive the petition of the Georgetown Communities Save Our Pool petition.
Again, much has been said. This has had a few different attempts to get over the line.
I've got a question. Thanks, Mayor.
You may certainly. May.
Why is there no attachments to this item? Well, there's no petition attached or anything. It's just
through the chair to the acting general manager. Anything you want to comment on there?
Yes, Mayor. Councillor, we understand that there is a decision made not to publish the petition because the petition in itself contained names and addresses of people in the community. So from a privacy perspective, it wasn't provided.
I'll move the motion, Mayor.
We have a mover in Councillor Mason and seconded by Councillor Ashley. Councillor Mason. Sorry, my eyes sometimes are casting here. I may well have missed you, but thanks for anyway. Councillor Mason. Councillor Mason as mover, take it away.
The officer's recommendation. Fiona Hills is a very passionate person, especially around swimming. She has a young daughter, Sophie, who swims at elite level.
Yep.
She has to get brownie points for putting this petition together. It takes a lot of work. You've got to talk to a lot of people. You tread on a few toes when you do it, but you do them sort of things when you're passionate about something. And I think she has some credit for following through on what she said she was going to do.
I wholly agree. Thank you very much, Councillor Mason. Councillor Ashley is seconder.
I agree with Councillor Mason's point of view, and I also think that Fiona is a very passionate person, and I understand that where she's coming from, she really believes in what she's addressing, and I admire her for her courage.
Thank you very much. With that, I'll open to the floor speakers for, against, or questions. Yes, Councillor Lowe.
Why weren't we informed in the body of the report that that was the reason why the attachments weren't, that there was no attachment with the signatories? I would have thought that we should have been informed. I assumed it must have been because it didn't meet a criteria of some description. So I was just trying to understand why we weren't told the reason why the attachments weren't included.
Through the chair to the acting general manager.
Councillor Orr, my understanding is that we've got Councillor Lowe. We've got a policy which is around protection of information, private information, and that is about how we use information when it's received to us, whether it's rates information or other information. So when we receive information that has got names and addresses of residents, it's in line with that policy that we don't publish that information.
Councillor Dawson.
Make a statement.
I've got a question of your own. I'll ask you to pause. Let me get the question, and then you can speak to the motion. Well, you can ask a question, but it has to be a question, not a statement. That's where I'm heading. I'm sure you will. Councillor Dawson.
Thank you. And I mean, for anyone that might be listening, rather than reading the report, I'll just read the background that sort of put in the petition for councillors. The General Manager conducted a preliminary review of petition hand-delivered to the Mayor at the 25th of February 2025 Ordinary Council meeting. The request of the petition is as follows. We urge the George County community to take immediate action to ensure the outdoor pool remains open, operational and accessible to all members of the community. The proposal for the new wellbeing centre offers no outdoor facilities and does not look to be family-friendly, offering only 5 lanes in the therapy pool. Please sign this petition to make your voice heard. The petition meets the basic requirements of the Local Government Act 1993, Part 6, Division 1, Petition, Section 57. As a petition does not seek a public meeting, it is not relevant if it complies with Section 59 of the Act. A check of the signatories against the General Manager's role is not required, as no action has been sought under Section 59. A check of signatories indicates that there are 4 double-up entries identified. There are 855 signatories to the petition.
Thank you, Councillor Dawson. All right, Councillor Barwick, I think you... Oh, Councillor... Well, yes, do Councillor Barwick. Come on, Councillor Barwick, I'll come back to you. Councillor Barwick, microphone, thank you.
But this petition under is relevant to Section 59. That is why we are now saying that, where will I find it? The general manager is to know, where will I get to 59, so I don't read all this other stuff yet. It does state in the document, it might be in, where am I? It says here, as a petition does not seek a public meeting, it says it is not relevant if it complies with Section 59 of the Act. 59 is... I looked up section... Actually, I looked up 59. Sorry?
Carry on.
Sorry?
Carry on.
Can you turn that extra one off next year?
Oh.
Doesn't echo then so much.
To me, the
petition, each one that we've had before, we have, as councillors, seen who wrote and signed those last petitions. Beg your pardon? At this last one? Yeah, that's right. But then, to me, that should have come when you look at local government. I'm sure it's our policy that says we don't, how we treat the Privacy Act, etc. To petitions that I have read, they normally have to come to the table so that if you sign a petition, you automatically sign the right for that to be out there in the public arena. It doesn't say it has to be hidden and doesn't come forward. But it's our policy that
maybe
changes.
I don't know.
Changes that. I have a concern that we ask ratepayers here at a public question time, state your name and address and where you live.
Hmm.
Right? Yet, here we are, the petition that is the voice of the people has been absolutely ignored as far as us getting it. I know there were so many people that responded to this, and we should be addressing the fact that they're asking to be heard, even though they didn't put it down as being a public meeting. They just wanted to be heard. And
which is what we're doing.
Huh?
Surely that's what we're doing, is that not?
Well, not really it is, but that's my comments about how this has been written up and given to us today. Not good.
I hear your concerns. Equally, I hear the position of the acting general manager. I'm ambivalent either way. I think both things have merit. I can speak from first person. In the workshop, we certainly have seen the petition. We've certainly seen the people who have signed it. The numbers add up. It's not a hill that I think I need to die on. I think both positions have some merit. Anyway, thank you. Appreciate your position. Anybody else? Do we have Councillor Archer?
Yes, thank you. I'm a bit sort of torn about this because although the petition's probably a bit clumsy without trying to be offensive, I think maybe there was the intention to try and petition for a public meeting or some such thing. It's no easy task to comply with the legislative requirements of however many signatures of the whatever percentage of the electors. But that said, it doesn't comply, but I don't know whether we've got a moral obligation to, because there hasn't been, I don't think there's been consultation, so to speak, in the strict sense of the word consultation. There may have been information sessions to provide information on council's views on the future development, but as for taking into account the community's feedback, you know, that may have been what they were trying to, what Fiona was trying to get through here. Yeah, I'm a bit torn on this.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Anybody else? Councillor Lowe.
Yeah, I think it gets a bit confusing because when we first were elected to council, there was a petition that did come across our desk, and for some councillors it would have been a new experience. It was for myself, and I believe that we got it wrong. And I come to that conclusion when I was meeting with the GM to try and put together my own petition on a separate matter. So I certainly believe that we've got a previous petition wrong, and I think that that's clouding now what I think we should be doing with this. And whilst I understand that it meets requirement 57, not 59, the desired outcome was to reach section 59 and be compliant and call the council to host the meeting so the community can voice their concerns. So I think that that's not going to happen based on the acceptance of this petition in its form. If it was, then I'd imagine that the petition would be attached or not, if it's because of privacy. But it would have been reviewed a lot more when I thought it was coming and we received the information at workshop. I certainly looked at the petition in great depth and could see that there was a lot of outside participants, there was a lot of double ups, there was children. So there was all of these things that didn't meet the requirements, and I think that we've also missed our mark on perhaps speaking up about what is a petition, how do people use petitions to approach council. So I think there's certainly some learnings there that we could be being proactive in making it easier for people to use the petition as a way to highlight to council concerns. So I'm not sure if that was a statement or a question. If there was a question in there, please answer. But, yeah, it was just concerning that I think we've gone down the wrong path and it's not going to get the outcome that the petition's intending.
I don't really think there was one to answer. I'm going to call that a statement. All right, anyone else want to speak to the motion?
Yeah, I'll speak to the motion. So it's quite clearly they've got what the petition is about. On at the top there, we urge the Georgetown community, so on. There's nothing ever mentioned there or about a public meeting. So someone signing that would not think they're signing for a public meeting. So therefore, I'm happy to support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If we were today to move to have a public meeting, can we move a motion and see how it goes to have a for a public meeting to be called? This fair lady had spent 3 weeks, I think, or 4 weeks at the most, getting three lots of petitions to this table. And each one of them virtually two did fail because that they were done in the wrong form, a wrong way. The next time she came back, it met all requirements to bring it to the table when it was handed to you. I would like to move, let's see where it goes, that the council calls a public meeting.
So hang on a second. So there's two different... We've got to be careful about getting the process right here.
But we've already got a motion underway.
You have a motion underway, but you could move an amendment or a foreshadow a motion. You've got two different ways.
I'd rather move an amendment and see
because
how
if you foreshadow,
goes,
then if this one
you.
Succeeds, you fall off.
Point of order, we can have an amendment of, like, recommendation too.
Of course you can.
You know, to...
Yes, you can.
To support the motion with an amendment.
No, you've point of ordered me a little bit fast. That's exactly where I was getting to. So if you move a foreshadow, this one has to pass and this one may succeed in its current form. If you move an amendment, there's two different ways to do that. Firstly, you can ask the mover and the seconder, do they accept an amendment to include a public meeting? Or you can move a whole new meeting, a new motion saying that you acknowledge it but include a public meeting your choice.
Excuse me, what part of the Act says that I have to ask the mover and the seconder if I want to put an amendment up?
It's an option. It is purely an option.
Well, no, I'd just like to...
So you'd like to move a motion?
Put the amendment up.
Okay, so what is your amendment?
And I'll just make it pretty quick, actually.
Yeah, just keep it simple.
I'll just move that this council calls a public meeting, advises...
This is a foreshadowed motion. I'd like to put the motion as it stands.
What's going on?
Oh, hang on a second. Let me just get some advice here, because procedurally...
No, the comment that I made was Councillor Barwick's motion was a new motion. It wasn't an amendment. I'd like to put the original motion as it stands.
That is right, but hold on. I'm going to ask everybody to hold. Let me just get some counsel here that procedure we get. Just hold. I'm happy for you...
The moving of this motion does not prevent Councillor Barwick from moving her motion after this
one. I have a similar read, but again, let's just pause. If anyone would like to get a cup of tea while I speak to the team, or if you want to recess the meeting for 5 minutes, let's recess the meeting for 5 minutes. Okay, so by the clock on the wall, it is 4:35. Give us 5 minutes. We're putting the meeting into recess. And we're closing. So give us 5 minutes and then we'll resume.
Yeah, I know. Is that
Mr. Nielsen? Mr.